Merry Christmas to you all, and grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. This evening on the Christian calendar technically is still Advent. You might say that this is the final Advent lead-in to the full-blown commemoration of the birth of Jesus Christ when we come back in the morning, Christmas morning, to participate in the Christ Mass, the festival service of the sacrament of the altar that gives Christmas, the Christ Mass, its name. But tonight, in these last quiet moments of the Advent season, we will conclude what has been our Advent sermon series, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, by considering together the shortest of all the Bible verses. Now, I know you probably thought John 11:35 was the shortest verse. Jesus wept. And in the English Bible, that is the shortest verse, but not in the original languages. In the original languages, the shortest verse in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, for our consideration now. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Charles Dickens' beloved novel, A Christmas Carol, is of course about Ebenezer Scrooge and how his heart was changed one Christmas. And we just love that story. We love all those kinds of stories about Christmas changing people, like Scrooge and the Grinch and George Bailey. It touches the heart to see the magic of Christmas transform Christmas curmudgeons into kind and compassionate, caring souls. And when it's all said and done, all is well. God bless us, everyone. All is calm, all is bright. And yet I wonder if perhaps a line from another Charles Dickens novel might be a more realistic reflection of the way a lot of people feel at Christmas. Dickens' book, A Tale of Two Cities, begins with that famous opening paragraph, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us." That is a pretty good description of Christmas. We want it to be the best of times. And so we decorate and we donate and we dine and we shop and sing and celebrate. We're like all those little Whos down in Whoville doing all that we can to make Christmas cheerful as they sing their happy little song. Remember it? Christmas time will always be just as long as we have glee. Oh, the best of times. But let's be honest, huh? The best of times, for a lot of people, is the worst of times. Christmas, a time of plenty, but a time of want. It's a time of togetherness for some, but for some it's a time of loneliness. A time of happiness, and a time of sadness. And as much as we want Christmas to be the best of times, for so many people in this world, it's not. We spent too much and now we're worried sick about our financial future. Or tonight we are struggling with health or maybe the health of a loved one, wondering maybe whether this will be the last Christmas on earth. Or we're wrestling with old hurts that won't heal or new wounds that have recently spoiled relationships. Or maybe we're missing a loved one, either by death or by distance or by cruel design. Tonight, I'm thinking about people who were expecting loved ones to come home for Christmas. And now instead they are grieving their deaths because of that. You heard about this, that massive pile up on the Ohio Turnpike in the frigid whiteout conditions. Here we are enjoying the best of times, but for them, it could not be worse. But that's how Christmas always is. It's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And that's why the shortest Bible verse can seem so artificial and so illusory. Rejoice always. And you want to say, really, Paul? Rejoice in what exactly? A Merry Christmas? But Christmas merriment is so fragile. It's as fragile as a snowflake that's here and then gone the next moment. And even if there is such a thing as Christmas happiness, it's more real for others than it is for me, because I have real problems and they don't just go away because it's Christmas. And I have such a heavy heart, and it just seems to get heavier this time of year. How dare Paul be so flippant as to say, rejoice always? Well, let me tell you why Paul would dare to say such a thing. And it's not because his life was a bed of roses and that he cannot relate to whatever you're going through. He suffered way more than any of us ever will. And yet he says, rejoice evermore. Not because life is all glee and giggles, but because he knows about the angelic Christmas announcement, I bring you good news of great joy. And what did the angel say? That this good news of great joy is for happy people? No. He said, good news of great joy for all people. This is good news of great joy, whether you're happy or hurting, whether you're laughing or weeping. Because great joy is God's Christmas gift to all of you. And I know, but please listen to what I say, because this is key. There's a difference between a Merry Christmas and a joyous Christmas. It's not the same thing. A Merry Christmas is determined by what's going on around me, most of which I cannot control. So Christmas is merry if I got a bigger bonus at work than I was expecting. Then it's a Merry Christmas. Christmas is merry if my health is good, or if the ham isn't dry, or if my loved ones are near and they're getting along with each other. Christmas is merry when the traditions are observed and when we are all just caught up in laughter together. That's when Christmas is merry. But none of that is essential to a joyous Christmas. A joyous Christmas is determined by what's going on inside of me. And God has taken control of that, having called me by the gospel to hear the song of the angels, to hear their cry, unto us a child is born, to believe the gospel, and to claim as my own his gifts of salvation and forgiveness and hope and peace with God. Gifts that are ours through the babe of Bethlehem, who, by the way, didn't really have a lot of reason for earthly happiness either. He was not of wealthy, noble birth with a lot of perks in life. He was born in a barn to a blue-collar father and a teenage mother. He would never have a place to call his own. He once said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air, they have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He was an itinerant preacher, not exactly the way to make it big in this world, ask any preacher. Oh, and then there's this, of course. that being found in the likeness of men, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death on the cross. You see, Christmas, it turns out, for Jesus, was a prelude to Good Friday. And death on the cross was the lowest of the low. It was an utterly vile death, as the Romans called it. And they ripped his flesh, and they burst arteries, and they severed nerves, and they created pain for him that we can't even imagine. And yet, despite all of that, Jesus exuded joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised its shame. So says Hebrews. Joy, even at the cross. And what does that mean for us tonight, this Christmas Eve? It means that no matter what life might be throwing at us, no matter what might be happening in your life right now that spoils your Christmas happiness, this one great truth makes everything joyful and bright, that Christ was born on this earth to die for you, from cradle to the cross. Jesus lived and he died for you, as he said, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Unlimited, unconquerable, unending joy. I bring you good news of great joy that's for all people, even you, even you. So, Christmas can be the worst of times when things are not going well. But at the same time, Christmas is always the best of times because of what God made it to be. Because it celebrates his gift of unconquerable joy in Christ. Remember what Jesus said about joy? He said, "No one will take your joy from you." Wherever sin is encroaching upon your life or your relationships, there is Jesus Christ to heal you, to deliver you, and to save you, and finally to bring you to his eternal kingdom and to perfect joy. And so maybe that's why St. Peter in his first epistle said that for those of us who love the Lord, that our joy is inexpressible. Inexpressible. This joy in Christ, it defies explanation because it doesn't waver and fluctuate like happiness does. But joy is as solid and as sturdy and strong and stable as the Savior in whom our joy is anchored. So whether tonight for you is the best of times or it's the worst of times, whether you are surrounded by love tonight or alone, whether you are feeling well or feeling ill, whether you are enjoying the spring of life or you're struggling in the winter of life, whether you're laughing or crying, whether tonight you are dancing or grieving, the birth of Jesus Christ is a cause for joy, for he is your salvation. And after you have suffered a little while, he will call you to his eternal glory. And he himself will restore you and confirm you and strengthen you and establish you. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. So tonight, I wish you a Merry Christmas. But even if it's not so merry tonight for you, even if this is the worst of times, light your candle tonight. Defy sin's darkness. Sing the carols. Hear the good news of great joy for you. And let your heart rejoice always in God's gift of Christmas joy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Amen.